Hi there. I'm here in the, trying to interest you in some coffee and, or some hot chocolate. Try to keep you warm. I know it's not too cold out there tonight, but still something toasty to wrap your hands around is always good. Now, if this was summer, well, I'd offer you some ice cold lemonade or maybe some bluebell. But I'm here in this little town square just about all year round. I carry whatever the season calls for, everything from sparklers and balloons for these 4th of July, and even to these Christmas star beamers that I have here for you. And since I retired from my full-time job, this is a great way to make a little extra money. The other perk, well, aside from the fresh air and the exercise, it's just watching the people. I get to know everyone pretty well, the ones who eat their lunch here every day, even the ones who just catching a breather from the hospital down the street. And the ones, you know, like the poor woman over there, we're getting ready for our annual town Christmas extravaganza, and she's the stage manager. Doesn't look like she's having a very wonderful time, does it?
Okay, cue the kids are hanging the decorations on the tree. The choir's ready to go. Let's do this, people!
Love those songs, don't you? I mean, they just say Christmas to me. Hey, great job.
our way, do our best to get there on time. Do our best? Oh, no. Heads up, everybody. It looks like our little drummer boy is missing in action, but he's on his way. Let's just have the children's choir go ahead and rehearse.
Thank you.
You know, just hearing that song brings back memories of a night about 15 years ago. That evening, sort of the same thing happened. The little drummer boy didn't show up. I think it was something about sticking a Lego up his nose. I don't remember exactly, but it did lead to one unforgettable night. You see, there was a woman and her little boy who had come to the town square that night. They'd come just out of the bus terminal over there. I remember it because I watched it all unfold. I could tell when I saw they didn't really know where they were going. Somehow the stage manager to the pageant noticed them too, and for some reason asked the woman if her son that night might be able to stand in for the show's missing little drummer boy. The costume looked like a perfect fit, and all the boy really needed to do was to put it on and stand by the stage the manger, and pretend to play the drum. The mother was a little taken aback, being new in town and all, and she was hesitant, because it turned out the little boy was deaf. There was a device that could help him hear, was a cochlear implant. Yeah, those are pretty common now, but back then they were quite experimental, and her insurance company wouldn't approve it. But she had read an article about a doctor who was doing an implant on her kids this son's age right here in our own town. So she had quit her job, she'd gotten on a bus with her son, and she'd come here. She had no idea how she was going to meet the doctor or how she was going to pay for the surgery. But at least she was in the right place. Like Mary and Joseph, she'd made the journey simply on faith that God would help her when she got here.
Sometimes faith will bring you to trust a promise that's illogical. Sometimes faith will lead you to cling to hopes that seem impossible. And when all
Well, there was someone else in the square that night. He was a newspaper man. Years of covering stories about the cruel and the ugly things that folks do to one another had really taken its toll on him. The fact that his wife had just become a follower of Jesus just made it harder. It was like the more she believed, the more that he doubted God existed at all. Just that day, his doubts had gotten even worse. If there were a God, wouldn't that God have shown him love instead of giving him more heartache than he didn't think he could even handle? He would have never have admitted it, but he was searching that night, just like the shepherds. He would never have said he was seeking salvation, but like the shepherds, that Christmas Eve had brought him right to the place that he needed to be.
Thank you.
Well, so I've told you about the woman and her little boy and the reporter. And yes, there was also one, at least one other person who figured into this story. Someone who was also facing a crisis. She was involved in the Christmas program. Even though her schedule was busy and demanding, she always carried out time for the Christmas choir because she loved Jesus and she loved to sing. Her name was, well, we'll just call her Mary, because that night she was playing the part of the mother of Jesus. No one knew that just that morning, Mary had been diagnosed with breast cancer. She hadn't even told her husband, or she hadn't told anyone except her husband. The last thing she wanted to do was to have the focus on the evening on her instead of on the message that was being presented. So she smiled as if nothing was wrong, and she sang, just like she always did, knowing that in the days ahead, she would be facing chemo and surgery to save her life. So there they were, four people, a desperate mother and her little boy, a man searching for answers and meaning and hope, and a woman of faith who was clinging to the God that she had just recently come to trust. But somehow God brought all of them to the manger.
Breath gave me life.
Well, I'd say deliverance, exactly the right word to describe what each of these people needed. After the scene at the manger was over, Mary took the little drummer boy by the hand to make sure that he got back to his mother. The two women began to talk, and the story about the little boy's need for a cochlear implant all came out. Mary listened intently and then disappeared into the crowd. Now that reporter, well, he had overheard the conversation between the two women, and even though he considered himself the very hard-nosed and completely objective, he couldn't help but track Mary down to talk to her. But he knew her, maybe better than anyone else, because as you see, Mary was his wife. The busy schedule that she kept was as a celebrated surgeon at the local hospital, the very hospital, and the very surgeon the little boy's mother had come to find. Big coincidence, huh? So now the reporter asked Mary, "What are you going to do?" She just smiled and said, "I'm going to give that little boy the surgery that he needs. Even if it means postponing your cancer treatment," he asked. He couldn't believe what she was planning, couldn't believe that she would risk her own life this way. But then she turned to him and said, "Well, what about you? You have the means to let everyone in town know about this need. If you wanted to, you could mobilize the entire community to reach out to help this mother and her son. What are you going to do?"
Amen.
The lessons at Christmas Eve program still echo in this town. The doctor did postpone her own treatment long enough to perform surgery, and in time she gave a gift of sacrifice and compassion. Her husband, the cynical reporter, well, he ended up writing the story just as the way it had unfolded. And because of that, the whole community came together to give every penny needed for the boy's hospital care. And in the end, he was able to hear. And they settled down here and are part of this community today. And oh yes, the story is well known in these parts. People refer to it as the Miracle on the Square. Maybe because that's the title I gave it when I wrote it as a feature in the local newspaper. You see, I was that newspaper man. The funny thing is, to me, the biggest miracle was how God, moving in and through the hearts of people, was this hard-bitten reporter had built up, and he changed my life that Christmas. And what happened to the doctor, my beautiful wife? Well, you can see for yourself.
Did I make it in time?
I think they just finished practicing the last song. And as you can see, God healed her and she made a full recovery. I retired from the newspaper business a few years back. And I spend my time raising money for the kids who need surgery and that they can't afford. In fact, if any of you would like to purchase a cup of coffee or some hot chocolate, or maybe one of these fancy star beamers, well, that's where the money goes.
Oh, good, you made it. We're about to start.
Seems like this year the little drummer boy arrived just in the nick of time.
Another drummer boy crisis?
Seems like it happens this way every year.
Did you bring the drum?
Got it right here.
You ready, buddy? Good. Grandma's so proud of you. Do you know that your daddy played this part on that very drum the first night that we arrived in town 15 years ago? He did. He did. Back then, your daddy was deaf. But now there was a miracle and he can hear. So you do it just like your daddy did on that special night and you'll be fine.
Mom and I will be out front watching. Love you, son. Have fun.
Kings in a manger, a sleeping I'd like to ask you to bow your head. This is a worship service. And they've presented this in order to draw our attention toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's fitting at the close of every presentation that an opportunity be given for individuals to make decisions. We recognize that oftentimes a decision made on a Sunday morning is a fruition of consideration over a period of time. And it may well be that God's Spirit has been speaking to your heart, and that for some time you've been considering making a decision for Jesus Christ, to give your heart and your life to Him, to publicly follow Him as a disciple, as a learner, as one committed to Him as your Lord. This is an opportunity for you to make that decision. If that's something you've been considering, or if God's spoken to your heart this morning, and you're ready to make that commitment to follow Him all the way. And it may also be that someone is here, God has been speaking to your heart about becoming a part of, a member of North Oaks Baptist Church by transfer of membership, by statement, by believer's baptism, whatever manner would be appropriate for you. And so this invitation time is for you also. So we're going to take just a moment and give you an opportunity to make a decision publicly, if God has led you to make one in your heart, to come forward and to share it. So after I pray, then we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn inviting you to come make your decision for Jesus Christ. Dear Father, we thank you for this time of the year, for the joy, for the opportunities to share and to give. We know that we do that because you first gave to us. And Father, we're also thankful that we're given opportunities to make decisions, to make commitments that will change our life and the direction of our life. Recognize you as the one who is Lord and Master and in charge. And so during this moment, if there's somebody here who needs to make a public decision, a public commitment to follow you or to obey you, I pray that you will firm that up in their heart, and they'll come forth and make that decision. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.